Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella, Sean Finnegan, and we are all really stoked. The Destiny 2 Forsaken reveal just happened. Here's what they revealed. Basically, weapons can go in any slot you want them to. There's going to be random rolls on all weapons. They pretty much fixed the vault. There's going to be a new sort of expansion pass thing that you can buy, but it's not an expansion pass anymore. It's an annual pass now, and we'll talk all about that, our impressions, including the new PvP mode Gambit. So first of all, guys, what did you think of the reveal? Are you excited? Is this good? Is Destiny back?
Did you just say they fixed the vault?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I never thought
you heard it here.
September 4th. I don't want to jump to any conclusions.
You just said.
But it seems like it's going to be fixed. There is a collection system in your inventory where I'm pretty darn sure Deed said you can just grab it right out of there.
Yep.
They're giving us 500 slots, which if I can get rid of all the crap I don't want.
Random rolls are back, though.
You
random
have 20 new Ice Lunas.
Yeah, there it is.
Random rolls are back. That's going to be great.
But yeah, I know. I think we're talking about that later. You did say it, so I wanted to put it out.
September 4th, we'll see.
It's the happiest Destiny in a while. This is great.
And I do think
mass shader deletion.
Oh, yeah.
I love that Scott was on the show.
That was awesome.
I think it's also worth noting we are headed into E3, so we just saw the reveal. We scrambled to do the show this week. Bear with us as we're trying to piece things together. Tweets are coming in, but obviously leave in the comments anything that needs a small correction if we get to that. Yeah. But we're excited, right? I mean, where do we start?
Pretty positive. Let's go back to that question that I just asked everybody. Do you feel like this is a revitalization for Destiny, CJ?
Yeah, this was everything that I think addressed PvP, PvE, maybe even a little campaign, although they did say that they were going to shy away from that kind of stuff. Just cutscenes.
Your cutscenes and cinematics?
Yes.
It's going to be more about the gameplay, which is why players love the game.
I totally felt like Deej was looking right at the camera being like, that Finnegan guy,
exactly.
He better be paying attention to this.
Well, and we've talked about that. I mean, even with Black Ops 4 eliminating campaigns, those are bottlenecks to some of the gameplay thing. So these are all positive changes, I think. I'm now excited and have a bunch more questions that I'm sure we'll get answered in the next few weeks.
Yeah, they didn't talk about console exclusivity. They just said, hey, here's what everybody's getting. I'm sure it'll be there, but focusing on the content and what changes they're going to make in the core Destiny experience was the most important thing for them to do, and they rocked it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I already saw that asterisk exclusive until fall something, which is normally what we see. But
great.
It might have been for something else, but I think I saw it in there. So.
Okay. What's your impression, though, friend?
Oh, I thought you were moving on to Sean and the lore tabs over here. But for me, when I saw, for starters, there was like maybe new enemy types, right? Like seemingly.
They're fallen, but
they look drastically different. There's like chains, and they got these cool, you know, forsaken horns or whatever it is. Boss or the enemy designs looked really cool. I'm liking the vibe of kind of the world they presented, and definitely the fact that they're like, there's these new subclasses. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are huge changes that we're not used to getting over the many years. We've really only got that once. We got like two times around. Sorry. We got a new subclass that was added along the first years. And
so,
yeah.
So new subclasses and new subclass trees. So the classes that you know today are probably going to be changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was like throwing knives or something was a hunter. And anyway, I loved seeing that and loved just sort of the new stuff they're presenting, all new weapon slots, like you said. So it's not a small change.
No,
it's definitely big, and that's why I'm excited. There's probably too much to dive into.
A whole new weapon archetype. Yep. I love bow and arrows. Just like in real life, I love archery. Yeah. Can't wait to try it. No, not crossbow. That's a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was mechanical.
Yeah, no. And hopefully it kills in one hit. It does look like it does. I mean, which is interesting because even as a hunter now with your nightshade, you're like, you know what?
And
I wonder if that's one hit.
Steven Rue pointed out, they said, oh, that's a nice machine gun.
Yeah, boop, you're dead.
I know.
Oh, that's sort of a double reveal. Machine guns might be back.
Yes.
And we're getting this new...
Could have been out of context.
No, no, up, that is a bunch of little
compound bow.
Yeah.
What do you got, Sean? What do you think?
I really liked this reveal. That Vidoc like totally set the tone 100%. Right up front of the
9 minutes.
Yeah. Like I thought that was awesome. The stream overall, I thought it was going to be longer, but I guess it's good that it wasn't because they kind of left you wanting more, which is how I felt at the end of the stream. It feels like when they revealed the Taken King. Remember when like they revealed the Taken King in a similar Vidoc? You and I were at E3 and we did the Vidoc like
No
commentary.
Legend is Safe is the name of the Vidoc.
And it totally felt like, whoa, this is a new like milestone for Destiny. Like after this point, the game will be very different. Mm-hmm. And I get that same sense here, which is great because the game has not been in the greatest state recently. And I think a lot of players feel that. So we're looking forward and man, is there a lot of really cool stuff to look forward to? I'm seriously amped about it.
Yeah, really big changes. No transmogs yet that we're seeing, but you're really but, like, you're getting there.
So that's the thing is like, I have the sense that like what we saw in the stream, and they kind of alluded to it in the stream, was like, this is all very top level, sort of like at a 1,000 feet up, look at what's coming in the future. Once we get down to like the granular stuff, like I would expect to see more detailed changes like transmog, not specifically these, but things like that that are very specific to the quality of life that we play.
Lore in-game, quest bounties. CJ, you have in your notes here, play your way, weapon slot changes. That's going to be really cool. You can play Destiny 1 style. You can do all shotguns.
Or have three shotguns.
Crazy.
Yep.
They use that as an example. The weapons have random rolls, something the community has been asking for. There's going to be mods on the armor or armor customization
of some kind.
Perks. Yep. And yeah, the collections are huge.
They're amazing.
So they're giving us 500 more vault slots. Plus, we have the collection system, which, I mean, we didn't see it happen, but they basically said that you can grab it from there and have it on your person.
It also shows like a fraction. Like if you look closely, it's like numbered, like, and then there's a slash. Yeah. And then like but, you have collected this many of this many available. But, so it gives you kind of like, it gives you a sense of how many weapons you haven't yet discovered or unlocked.
Right. Yeah. I rewatched the part. I'm like, it sounds like you can pull it right out of that menu while you're in orbit. So they're like improving the vault system across the board.
Yeah, I'm confident you can. It's just, you know, collections today. Are you going to go back to the tower? Yeah. Now they just put it right there.
Well, it's all temp right now, so stuff might change in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, the part that I enjoyed, I feel like they're answering a bunch of things kind of simultaneously. If potentially you can get it right from there, you don't need to go to orbit. It helps out the lore people. You actually have the ability to see the weapons in advance of obtaining them. To me, that was the thing that was missing in Destiny 2, especially when random rolls were eliminated. So that fixes almost like 99% of the problems that I've...
Instead of using DestinySets.com, it's right there.
Right there.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty sure that now with these collections in there, like we've been seeing with, say, Catalyst, there's like a hint.
Yes.
We think that's probably where this might go. Like there's a question mark exotic that you know it's one of the 40, and maybe you get a hint.
Well,
to
we don't
start
know
that.
If it's maybe exotics. Or legendaries.
I'm
or what it is. Yeah. But if it is that way, then yes. And that's the nicest part is if they have little hints or if they have certain things, like there's so many weapons in Destiny and you want to figure out, okay, how do I obtain this?
Yeah.
To me, it's going to be great for the content creators as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
I mean, overall, like, I just think that this is a huge step forward and I'm very excited about it. Like, it gives me hope that they're listening to the community and not just like the overall sort of sentiments that we can all like, even if you're sort of following Destiny, you know what the community's saying, just from seeing the same threads on Reddit. But like the fact that like they're willing to change so much and so drastically gives me hope that they're willing to kind of go the distance in other things. Like I've long been saying one of the things I wanted was more RPG like talent trees that make our like choices with how we play really like more tailored to our play style and a lot more sort of like focused.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're now switching around the weapon slots. Like, that gives me hope that, like, we could potentially see those changes in the future.
Yeah, it's a lot of different options. Two things stuck out to me. One, to your point, was they still said it might break the game.
Yeah.
We thought of that. Awesome. And we've all probably used Lunafaction boots by now. And the fact that they're willing to continue this, like, crazy, like, oh my God. We've seen so many clips. And even when I still have used Lunafaction, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. We see, like, that stuff amps me up.
You know what? That's great.
Yeah. You know what it was? There was the super where, was it a warlock that had, like, the beam of an arc?
Yeah.
Some of that, and there, that was when they were talking about this might break the game, maybe. I don't know if it was that, but I remember that moment stuck out.
Like, I just watched a video because I was just Googling, like, what are the best? Because I'm in PvP, I'm running Crest of Alpha Loopy right now, which is pretty good. When you cast your barrier, it gives you a health boost. That's pretty good, but now there's all these other changes. Like, I've been looking at Synthesep's videos.
Yeah.
That is really good. But then this guy posted
OP good.
This guy posted a new build that he calls the AC-130 build, where you use Lion Rampant, which is the floating boots, and then you use Skyburner's Oath, which they adjusted.
Oh, which has hipfire already.
Hipfire, and you just float around.
Nuke
AD, like, you don't need it. You don't even ADS.
Like,
you just hipfire, and it tracks them, and it does so much damage. I'm like,
that's crazy.
Whoa, that's a build I want to try now. And now I need to go get those two weapons. So if they're willing to change up the sandbox in such drastic ways, where we can, like, potentially come up with these new combinations, and we are, like, really excited to explore these new ways of playing, like, that's what the core Destiny gameplay loop is to me, and, like, that's just gonna be so cool.
Yeah, the only other mention, I don't know if we're talking about it later, but just alluded to the fact that weapons might have a bit of a grind to them as well, like leveling them up or something.
Right.
Yeah,
they didn't say much.
They're gonna grow as your power grows.
Stuck out to me that there was something going
on. To me, that kind of just said, like, a new type of infusion. But like, I get what you're saying.
But overall, thumbs up, right?
You've ruined
thumbs
up. Isn't that what infusion is?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And
I'm excited to learn more.
I made a comment that no legend is safe. Actually, that was last year's Taken King, or, you know, Destiny 1's Taken King reveal. I thought this was just as good, or maybe even better in some ways, because the game has dramatically changed. David Samuel.
The
sound effects guy. When he makes it in there, him and then Scott Taylor, Steve Cotton, there are a combination of moments in there where I'm like, those guys know and understand. Yeah, the last, like, few months have been a little difficult, so it was good to see all those guys being really lighthearted.
Dave Samuel always brings a smile to my face. The only thing we don't know, I would point out, though, is this is an expansion, right? They talked about whatever, the Dreaming City.
Yeah.
They didn't really talk about new planets and stuff, right? And
so,
they very much avoided, showing – were you going to talk about this?
Yeah, so overall, thumbs up. They didn't really talk too much about the new
– how much content is what I'm wondering.
They teased them. Let's talk about the pricing structure and why that's a little bit strange. That's where I was going to jump.
Oh, sure.
There.
You know,
we can't finish up real quick with
what do you got?
Well, just like one of the biggest things that we didn't really touch about, which I think forms a lot of our impressions, is the reveal of the new space, which is Dreaming City.
Yeah, right? the new raid space.
Yeah, so they kind of positioned it as an endgame / raid space where all of the endgame events and challenges and stuff happen. Kind of, and they said, like, it was a lot like if what's the name of
Crota's End
ship?
And
Dreadnought.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah. Dreadnought
and Vault of Glass, they said.
If they were twins. Which, that's an interesting comparison because, like, I liked the Dreadnought, but it felt a little small. But the idea of a brand new space that we haven't seen where basically you're doing your raids, you're doing your whatever the game's equivalent of Escalation Protocol or Challenge or Prison of Elders is, your end game activities, where the thing that really hooked me is that they said, like, it would be different in 3 weeks after Gardens had explored it than it is when you first get there, because there are these secrets and puzzles that unlock over time. And as Guardians progress further and further, it gets bigger and bigger. That sounds awesome, because I don't know if you guys have been doing, like, the Nascent Dawn quests and all of the, like, exotic quests going on in this expansion right now, but they're awesome.
Yeah, they're,
like,
great.
They're really cool.
You thought the Dreadnought was small? The Dreadnought wasn't
small.
Yeah,
about after maybe the first couple weeks, you're like, it feels pretty small.
I think it probably felt small because you only went to a few areas, but it was actually pretty
It was huge.
It's also because I think, like, initially you don't have access to your
claustrophobic.
Yeah,
you don't have access to your Sparrow, so I think that artificially makes it feel a little bit bigger.
Maybe a little bit.
I get what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is, like, the prospect of a brand new space that seems open world and big. And we saw a bunch of art in the ViDoc.
Really
it
cool.
looks really cool. Yeah. Like, I'm just excited to go explore that.
They showed a lot of the raid this time, like a few of the encounters that we can sort of expect. And I think that's good. They gave us enough of a tease without giving anything away. And I really, really appreciated that. I'm really excited about September.
They were very specific to be like, we don't want to tell you too much because like part of it is the surprise.
Yeah. Well, Deej was tempering people's expectations too, because now we have a bunch of questions. So
yeah. Like, you know. Thank God it's not Leviathan, thank you. That's not a question. Yes. I just want to say that. Like, yeah. I'm just so glad to get out of that space and be somewhere totally new and exploring the area. I was really worried yesterday when they're like, oh, we're going back to Prison Elders. Like, oh no. Like, it's going to be like Destiny. They're just giving us an area from Destiny 1, but no, it's so different.
Yep.
I'm relieved to see that the enemy faction actually looks visually distinct. It doesn't just like – it's not like a peg leg fallen, you know?
Yeah.
Like look, we gave them weird legs this time.
Yeah.
No, they look pretty different.
They have new moves, it looks like. And honestly, we've been waiting for that for years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
For sure. I did kind of want to talk about the confusing pricing structure. So – they're doing an annual pass system now going with Destiny 2 Forsaken. And here, I'm just going to break it down. I have it written down on my piece of paper. So if you've never played Destiny 2, you need Destiny 2 base game and the two expansions, which you can get for on PS4, $39.59, on Xbox, $38.99, or on PC, $38.99. And then if you want to get just Destiny 2 Forsaken, you can get that for $39.99 without the annual pass. So you'll be looking at $79.58, or about $80 to go in. And then if you want to get the annual pass with Forsaken, it's $109.58. So that will be your total cost entry if you're a new Destiny 2 player and you've never played Destiny 2 before.
How do you make it this far into the show if you've never played? No,
Yeah. So you're probably not watching the show, but just to give context, Bungie did clarify that what did they say specifically, Fran? You have the tweet right there.
Oh, yes, I do. I did pull this up. So it's funny. We've been asking them about this today. I wonder if this was somewhat in response, but they said there will be additional Destiny 2 Forsaken product options unveiled later this year for players who do not own the Destiny 2 base game and both expansions. They'll be available closer to September 4th.
And shout out to Humble Bundle, an IGN partner. There's actually a sale right now on Destiny 2. It's like $12.
Yep. Yeah. Part of IGN. So, Humble Bundle is actually disclosure. Yep. Part of IGN.
Yep.
Our business. But they have
it's a
great
good deal, and it goes to charity.
Yes.
So
this is actually something that was really important, because I don't know about you guys, but I was getting a bunch of tweets like, okay, this seems like a good time to enter, right? But like, how do I do that? What is that going to cost me if I don't have Destiny 2 or haven't played it yet? Do I have to get the other expansions and stuff? Yeah. So, like,
the answer is yes, you do need to get the other expansions.
Yeah, but the fact that Bungie is going to address that for people who haven't jumped into the game yet with bundles and stuff that makes sense, that are hopefully maybe a little discounted.
Yeah, like 60
would be great.
Or something, right?
Yeah, because like I'm looking at this and being like,
60 is a good price point. 60, 70.
We'll see.
Yeah, like if I'm a new player, if I just have to, you know, put myself in that position and be like, I haven't played Destiny 2.
Yeah, what if you only play Destiny 1? That's like one of the things. Yeah.
But it looks like this is a good time. Or I learned my lesson and I didn't like Destiny 1, but I jumped back in for Taken King and now I want to jump back in for Forsaken. And then I see that it's going to cost $110 at minimum. I'm like,
that's with the annual pass.
That's a
punch. No, but you know what I mean, right? Yeah. Like, that's the sort of jumping in point. Yeah.
80,
like,
80 minimum, 110.
But that's with sales.
Right, today. Yeah. If you were to buy it today.
Yes, today. Yeah. And that was the point. Destin and I talked about this briefly. I just really wanted to make sure
everyone
was clear
on it. Just a little
step
is all.
Yeah. MSRP, as you go around, like Best Buy still had up like Destiny 2 plus expansions for like 90. Yeah. Then you have – there's non-sale items. And it's a little confusing that you could actually spend as much, if you're not careful, as $128, $129 if you're not careful to buy all this stuff without the annual pass. So, you can get it for $75 to $80 for now. Well, I wanted to finish by saying I hope they get a little closer to 60 because – and that's why I'm a little worried about what the other content is. Like, it seems like it really relies on the rest of
the
content.
Well, when you say right now, you don't think they're holding some of this information to release that at E3 or later? Like, we're
away
from E3.
They said in the stream that closer to launch, like closer to September, they would be revealing more information about that.
I feel like they're waiting to see how pre-orders go. If you want my honest opinion at this
point. Who knows? So I am actually using this as a segue, everybody. So let's talk about the annual pass. So Destiny 2 Forsaken is going to have a new annual pass system. The base game costs $39.99. With the annual pass, it's $69.99. You get three expansions. You get Black Armory, which is winter 2018, Joker's Wild, which is spring 2019, and Penumbra, summer 2019. I said it a little weird, but that's what it's called. Anyway, you get those three expansions, and I have a question for everybody. Is this a better system than the two DLCs?
I mean, it's a really tough question to answer without knowing what's in them.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the content.
So me and Brian and Doug in out there, we talked a lot about this morning, but really what it comes down to is like, I just think that this is a better way for them to message that players are going to be getting regular content.
Yes.
Like what that content is and hope, like, one, I don't think it'll be addressed until we're closer to when we're getting them. But two, I also expect them to be more in line with what we got from Warmind and Curse of Osiris. The problem being that I think Bungie realizes that when players and Guardians who are really involved in the game don't have anything to play and are looking forward to the next expansion, then there's no information out there, like even the name.
Yeah.
Our expectations get like high up, right? And then it delivers and it's not what we expected and people are disappointed, right? Well, this is a way where we can tell people, look, like you're paying X amount, you're getting X amount, you're getting Y amount, whatever. And we can think of these things in terms of the size and scope of Curse of Osiris and Warmind. If we do that, I think we're going to be at least not, at least our speculations aren't just running wild.
Yeah, here's what they did tell us on the sheet. It did say, endgame challenges, new weapons, armor, and vanity rewards to collect, new and returning exotics, new pinnacle activities, new triumph records to collect, new lore to discover.
So that's basically what Warmind was, right? Yep. Like, so in varying degrees, like it depends on how much or how robust these features are, you know, like if there's an escalation protocol like event in it, then perhaps it is worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just a better way to communicate the type of content you're getting for the price up front, as opposed to waiting down the line for Guardians
for a
launch. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, but I mean, in some ways they did that a little bit, because even on the launch of Destiny 2, we knew that there was going to be the Warmind. We knew that there was going to be – they weren't titled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We knew right off the
Expansion
bat.
Expansion 1 and 2.
Expansion 1 and 2. But I mean, so I hear what you're saying. To me, this is all still a little bit vague. Until we get closer to each of those things, like it's kind of the same always, right? But it's nice that it's an annual pass, and it's like you can either choose to buy this or not.
Alongside seasonal updates and live events available to every Destiny 2 player, Forsaken Annual Pass provides bonus rewards and introduces three premium content releases. Each release delivers new experiences to Destiny 2 Forsaken, including activities and endgame content, and an arsenal of powerful weapons, armor, and gear to earn. I believe I pulled that from the press release. One thing that comes alongside this is Deej did say on the stream, and I'm paraphrasing, we're leaning harder into what keeps you coming back, less into cutscenes and cinematics.
Yeah. Which, again, is, I feel like, a definitely, like, Sean, I hope you're listening out there, type comment. I have been very vocal about wanting these expansions to dive deeper into the storytelling, and I feel like that sometimes might be a little misconstrued, because I am 100% all for environmental, adventure-based storytelling, or like not necessarily cinematic cutscene storytelling.
Right. Yeah, if the in-game engine does it, and it does it really well, and there's a bunch of different.
Well, they didn't that yet, though. What about like the lore tabs and?
But that's what I'm saying. Is like,
are you okay with that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like, I think a great example. I mean, Halo's a great example of this, where like there's the main campaign, it has cutscenes and cinematics or whatever. But then if you go back and you're picking up terminals and stuff, you're getting a bunch of additional story that you can collect and piece together at your own pace, which fleshes out the world. And anyone who watches like someone like Bife on YouTube realizes there's all this information and lore out there that we just don't pick up on.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think that that's a great way to do it, as long as I just want them to make it easier. Like if there's a lore tab and we can access that and there's a progress in it, then that's going to be great. And it sounds like that's the direction they're
leading. Yeah, we don't know enough about it yet, though, right? Like we may not have a traditional campaign mission structure like we're seeing in like Warmind, to be fair. Yeah, it didn't really have like a lot of cutscenes or anything, but I wonder what it means, because they really were talking about in-game activities, vanity items, potentially new items, etc. So I'm kind of wondering if they're still going to have called the traditional campaign ad.
To be honest, Destiny's biggest strength has always been the gameplay, and its weakest
has
always been the storytelling.
Exactly.
So they're already taking the strikes out of the main campaign missions and throwing them back into the strike playlist. So I'm going to take a wait and see with this, but I mean, if they can still deliver an interesting, compelling story through new strikes and some sort of narrative path that they take us on that doesn't have as many cutscenes, cool. Just tell a better overall story.
Yep. Yeah. And one other important note, I'm sure people are like, well, what does this mean for like all the free updates that I've been getting? This has been a question going around, which Bungie addressed about an hour ago as a recording. They said it'll be in the TWAB. So, you know, by the time you hear this, there may be more details.
We'll be at E3.
But coming this week, they say more details and information about the Forsaken Annual Pass are coming in the weekly Bungie update. The Annual Pass is designed to improve upon the previous Expansion Pass and will not replace seasonal events and live game updates that every player can access in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the price just for one last second. The Annual Pass ends up being the Annual Pass ends up basically you're getting like three or four. Well, how many?
No, you can only buy what? 69 bucks? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you can only buy a single annual pass. Oh, sorry.
There's no way to get the annual pass
with the annual pass is a total of 70. Yeah.
Right. So if you break that down and think about what the actual base game is with that, you're effectively getting then how many DLCs for what?
We don't know. That's 20, the thing. Yeah. They point to three like things. You're right. And it's what, $20 roughly currently.
Well, it'd go from 40 to 70, right? So 30, so $10 per piece of content.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like you're getting more content for less amount of money than previously. Like, that's what it seems like.
But see, that's the point. That it's hard. We don't know. Right. Right now, right, expansions are about $15, right?
Yeah, 15 is
And so that would be more than what you'd normally get out of pass. But anyway, it's too early to say. But my head was like, there too. I'm like, wait, is it $10 a thing? Because there's three things.
Like, because I would argue even if they cost the same, like the value definitely leans towards Warmind over Curse of Osiris, right?
I personally like the annual pass model better than the expansion model, because I think there's a certain expectation with an expansion.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
A cinematic narrative, and I don't know. I just feel like expectations are managed with this style.
I agree. It does. Although I still do hope that they take the expansion philosophy, because I will always say, I do want three or four cool, robust story missions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrath of the Lich King, Burning Crusade.
I think what we've seen
episodic WoW reference.
But I do think speak your language. Warmind has those pieces where whether it was Escalation Protocol or, within there, there's the Raid Lair even. I think we can still expect those drops. I think, it's getting away from this idea that it's one whole package and it's a whole new story and expansion. Yeah. Now they could just, my hope is, they just drop stuff in without that expectation, which maybe that's saying, great.
Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if,
add a new Nightfall?
Awesome. It allows them so much flexibility. What if what if that winter update is just six new story missions and that's it? And then the next one is just new multiplayer modes and new, do whatever.
I don't think it'll be that. But I think it'll be sort of a smorgasbord.
Platter. Sure.
If you will.
Well,
a little bit of story,
but we'll learn
some tomato sauce on that.
The new game mode, though, to me, there's a lot of different things now. I feel like that is a completely new activity.
Yeah, we'll talk about that last.
That just you feel like now that could be in and of itself its own deal that they reiterate. Bunch of new maps for that game mode. And it was one of these things where I've read enough Fireteam chat comments that it hybrid marries PvE versus or with PvP together. And I think, it looks super cool.
We're going to talk about Gambit in just a second, but just so everybody knows, here is what you get in September. According to the roadmap, we're going to get gear collections, we're going to get in-game triumphs, we're going to get weapon slot changes, weapon randomization, mod system update, bulk shader deletion, new Crucible mode, Gambit, four new Crucible maps, 200 additional vault slots for 500 total, in-game lore, new bounties, Power Matters, and Iron Banner and Trials. That was a little footnote, not everybody caught, is great to have back. Yep. I am tremendously excited about that.
Yeah.
Power matters.
Do you think this is going to address the TTK issue that everybody kind of brings into question the PvP model?
Well,
and we'll use this to go into Gambit.
Yeah, so for sure, definitely the ability to customize weapons. Now, obviously, there's jokes like, hey, can you equip three rockets? I don't know. They did not. Well, for sure, they said you can put three rockets.
You put whatever you want. They use shotguns as an example.
I heard that.
Destiny 2 Forsaken. F it.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
D2F. That's what it was like. Yeah, but
that's what the F stands for.
So that's what was cool. Now, if you can, I don't know how that's going to work, because then it's like, what, your primary, secondary weapon slot's going to fill a rocket?
Well, they did mention that it's going to change the way Guardians think about power ammo and just ammo in general.
Right.
How does that work?
I'll bet you if you have three shotguns, you won't have ammo to fill all three of those shotguns.
Is the white brick and the green brick you pick up going to go into those power slots, because those show around on the ground in PvE. So for me, everybody talks about, is the game catered for PvP or PvE? And what do you guys think?
The new game or in general?
In general, because I'm always, people go, oh, CJ, you're a PvP guy. But I really do think that the PvE side of Destiny.
It's been heavier on PvE, I would say.
For Destiny 2, yes.
Yeah, for sure. For Destiny 2, yeah.
So what do you think?
I mean, I think they're about equivalent.
Okay.
Yeah. In Destiny 2?
Yeah, like I think there's probably more stuff to collect from PvE than there is in PvP, but in terms like playtime and in terms of investment and in terms of skill cap, like I think.
But just like the thought they put into it, it seems like PvE got more.
To me, PvP seems like a watered down version from Destiny 1. And PvE was sort of more focused on, like, even with the weapon system where they tried to have you do the weapon juggle thing.
Yeah, and to me, this was some of the thing. Like, as a PvP guy, everybody's saying, oh, you should pay more attention to PvE season. And it's like, no, I do. I enjoy PvP, but I still love playing PvE. And I think for sure that if you look back into the game now, PvP was designed to be very balanced, maybe a little boring. It was 4v4, but it was the things that supposedly a lot of people wanted Destiny to be. We got that, and the majority of people, I think, felt a little bit neutered in their power.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, this is not Destiny 1. This is not Destiny 2. It is something else.
Yeah.
You want to rock 3 shotguns in PvE? Great. You want to do that in PvP? Cool. Do that too. What about balance? Screw it. And that's really cool.
Sorry to interrupt your point. They were so cautious with balance and everything, and they were. You know what? That was a mistake. It's all about the power fantasy. We're going to let you have that power fantasy again. Supers are going to break the game. We don't care. Just go for it.
We've brought it up, but like in all of Destiny 2, the most fun that anyone's ever had, or the most like people were talking about PvP, Crucible, Trials, was when Prometheus Lens was broken.
Yeah.
And it, no one disagrees that it was broken.
It was.
Very imbalanced. Yep. And people who didn't have it were having a bad time. I'm not saying that that's what they should go for, but the idea that like, whoa, there's this cool new thing and it's really powerful and I want to go try it out, that is something that has been lacking on the PvP front for sure.
Right.
Here's how it felt to me. They're like, here's Destiny 2. My phone is Destiny 2. This is our baby. We're holding our baby. Oh, you can hold it for a little bit, but no, it's ours. We're going to control it. And now they're just like, yeah, whatever. He's grown up. Just he's just go crazy. Do whatever. We don't care.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
and it's cool.
Yeah. I just can't wait.
Maybe a baby's a bad
comparison. Well, it is. That's fine. I was wondering where you're going with that.
As a father. Yeah.
It's all right. Having multiple snipers and shotguns, to me, it does potentially give somebody the ability to be like the sniper guy or the shotgun guy or the fusion rifle guy. Or the tractor cannon guy, and just do that.
I will have my revenge.
Exactly. But then that is awesome, and it doesn't potentially have to be, hey, as a PvE player, you're neutered for PvP.
That's DJ awesome. Has said neutered twice this episode.
Neutered.
And that is a fantastic transition.
Throwing babies
for no reason. Let's talk about Gambit. So Gambit is a new 4v4 multiplayer mode where your team versus another team, and you fight off waves of enemies until you get to a final boss, and your goal is to kill your final boss on your half of the map first. However, you can collect motes and mess with the other team. You can block off sections of their map, or you can actually invade. You can invade their side of the map and go in and kill the guardians, further preventing them from progressing in their challenge.
Yeah.
You F them up.
Exactly.
Yeah. D2.
Boom. Destiny 2.
I'm taking that from Luke.
Yeah.
Luke said
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's really interesting.
It looks really fun. It looks cool. I can't wait to try it out. It's going to be at E3, they said, and Guardian Con.
I'm actually really surprised about this, and maybe you could speak to this too, but like as a PvP guy, like where my head's at when it comes to PvP and competitive PvP is like, oh, I want to see my team slayers. I want to see my capture the flags.
Yeah.
When a game brings something new, like when Halo brought in Oddball for the first time, I was like, well, this is really cool. That's what Destiny's done here, right? Like they thought of something outside the box.
Yeah.
And they talk about it in the ViDoc, but they're like, we tasked these guys with designing a mode that leverages the best things about Destiny. So what are the best things about Destiny?
Right.
Well, killing monsters, killing guardians,
and being competitive. And
cooperative and against each other. Now you're working with your team to kill monsters as fast as you can, but then you're strategically making choices about how you use the resources from doing that to mess with the other team. And then at times, it looks like you can send a player over Red Rover style.
Yeah.
To like
that looks
mess
so
with their,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you mess just with kill their
them.
Strategy. Yeah, yeah. Kill them. Like,
yeah. So they have to
pop
respond.
Over with a rocket or two, like, bam, and then get back over. Yeah. Like, that would be really cool. Like, it just
tractor
seems.
It's like a super move in like a fighting game almost. Yeah.
Can I have 3 tractor cannons?
You probably can't equip 3 exotics.
You already have 7 in the mag.
Come on, guys. Not 3 exotics simultaneously?
The catalyst.
I got excited for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, but you're right. And I think those are some of the things that, you know, PvP was always a very different part of Destiny, especially with Destiny 2 when a lot of your weapons did not feel as powerful. So this has a lot of those things. Man, I just want to say the word neuter again.
let's not.
You just did.
Well, I did.
It's fine.
It's nice that now you now have like this activity where what they did with the Nightfalls and adding scorings and stuff like that, this is now right there. It's maybe not a leaderboard, and we don't know if there is or not, but like – you're playing against somebody else in a PvE mode. You want me to say it again?
Yeah, I do now.
Yeah, no. But that's what's cool. This is a direct competition in a PvE type space.
I also love just like the strategic choices it affords you. Like imagine if your job on your team in this mode is like you're the guy who goes and messes with the other team.
Yeah.
Like, your weapon loadout is going to be way different than what you would hope it would be when you're killing monsters and stuff. Like
That's a good point.
Like, cause killing guardians is different than killing monsters. Like, I think that's really cool.
Loadouts. It's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's everything. We're about to go to E3. There's a ton to go over. Those are our initial reactions to the Destiny 2 Forsaken reveal that just happened. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Any final points? What do you guys think?
Well, we did it at the top of the show, but we're going to be playing it, right? Yeah,
yeah,
days away. We're going to go play Gambit at least. We'll see what
happens. Yeah, so I guess just wait for full impressions. We're going to be playing at E3.
Weapon slots, random rolls. Those are the biggest. I cannot believe that they're doing that.
Vault space.
In this kind of way.
That's my big takeaway.
New raid space / endgame space. Yeah,
pretty cool. What was your favorite thing?
I don't have an ending tagline. I'm excited for just there's too many changes at once, and that's great.
All right.
Well, we'll pick one thing.
We'll see you guys again at E3. Thank you so much for joining us this time. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.